Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live here at Atlanta Falcons training camp up here in Flowery Branch. The line's backed up from the gate already. At some point in the near future, they'll open that gate up and let the stream of fans start to roll through here. My name is Mike Johnson, Squidbilly Bo Morgan, hanging out with you. Allie Mack, also Dylon, back behind the glass playing the tunes on the way back in. And pleased to welcome in the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, Mr. Terry Fontenot. Appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, my friend.
What did you say? Bo Morgan, Squidbilly,
man, Squidbilly, right here.
You know what's funny is I was just sitting here and somebody said that earlier, and I go, of all the freaking nicknames that gets
Mike Bell.
Okay. There's a so I've worked. I produced Mike Bell for years because you know I still do Falcons. I produce them, but so I was Mike Bell's producer for a very long time. And there's a cartoon on Adult Swim called Squidbillies. And they are redneck octopi in North Georgia because Cartoon Network is based in Atlanta, right? Wow. So he called me a Squidbilly, and it stuck. And you know how it is, Terry. Like, nicknames, you don't get to pick them.
Right.
And if you fight them, it just becomes worse. So I just bought into it and said, you know what, I'm going to brand myself as Squidbilly, whatever. Who cares?
There's a lot of people listening that just got educated about the name Squidbilly, too. We probably should do that more often. Look, I was going to give you some of the background as well. I want you to stop if you know where I'm going with this story. Now, when I got to training camp out here in the fall of 2010, we had a tight ends coach, very interesting man. One of my rookie assignments was to buy his book that he wrote. I don't know if you're aware of this book, right? And I'm talking about Mr. Chris Selfo.
Yeah, was it a Hurricane Katrina book?
Okay. Now, I had to go buy for pretty much the entire offense. I sold Amazon out of these books, and it was called Fourth in New Orleans. And obviously, you have a pass with Chris Selfo as well.
Yeah.
Now his son was actually a ball boy out here as a middle schooler when I was here, and now he's the offensive line coach at Tulsa, which is insane. But it's just funny seeing those names start to cross paths and where everybody has kind of come from and where everybody's going, man. So
It feels like that's some type of probably something you should have been doing was he was just forcing you to buy his book. Isn't that funny?
Did you actually
read it?
No. I walk up to, Justin Peele and Tony was there at the time, Reggie Kelly, and you're like, hey, you guys want to copy this book? They're like, absolutely not.
He used to always joke with me at that time that, hey, I'm stealing money because I'm coaching Tony Gonzalez.
Yes.
What can I really Tony Gonzalez about football?
He absolutely was, man. But appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. And obviously there's a ton of things to get into. I got to tell you, and here's where I want to start. I was looking over these jerseys, right? And it's got to be such a cool thing for a general manager. I'm looking at the jersey sales. You got Bijan Robinson. Obviously, Jalen Walker and James Pierce jerseys and all these kids are wearing – you're at the helm of that, man. You get to decide – what jerseys are for sale and who gets to John the red and black, man. Just talk about how cool it is to be the GM of the Atlanta Falcons.
Man, it is. It's such a blessing. It's really cool. And you just said it with those types of guys that when you're proud to see your kids and people wearing those jerseys because it's not just about what they are on the field. But, I mean, who doesn't want their son to grow up to be like Bijan Robinson?
Right.
Or Chris Lindstrom or Jalen Walker. I mean, Jesse Bates. Like, these guys are unbelievable. And so whenever you have – we see what they are on the field. We know the vision we have for this team and how they're all going to connect to it, and we're excited about that part of it. But they're unbelievable human beings, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, and the jerseys are the cool part, getting to see that kind of stuff. But what kind of challenges do you face that maybe the average fan wouldn't realize about managing a roster year-round?
Yeah. Well, it's tough because, Allie, at the end of the day, we're at 90 right now. Actually, we're at 91. And every player that's here is here for a purpose, whether it was a coach or a scout, or everybody's here for a reason. There's nobody that just randomly shows up here. And we got to cut this thing down to initially 53, and then we can build back up with the practice squad and the international player to 70. But that's hard. That's really challenging because the other thing we're doing is we're also looking outside the building at the other 31. We constantly work out players. We had DJ Chark in here. And so there's good players that are available on the street. There's good players on other rosters that, as we anticipate, could get cut or we could possibly trade for. So we got to get the right 53, the right 70 to go through the season with, at least to start the season on the right way. And so that's hard because we're going to have some tough conversations here at some point.
We're joined by the GM of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot, here on the morning shift live from Flowery Branch, training camp day 4, I believe. That's funny that you said exactly what you just said because we were talking earlier about what we wanted to talk to you about, and I was like, well, I want to ask him because, like, DJ Chark is signed on what? Their off day. What's it like day-to-day for you, training camp? Because we kind of think that when you get to training camp, you've done most of your job. You gave Raheem 91 players. All right, you go do what you got to do. But what's it like? Because you're having to monitor. You're having to work out these guys. So, like, the day-to-day operation of training camp for Terry Fontenot was like what?
Yeah, so like, for example, yesterday we met with the pro staff going through the preseason scouting process and everything that entails, and because we have to be experts on the other 31 teams. And before you know it, these games are going to start. So, and there's going to be a massive cut. So how are we evaluating these players? How are we anticipating the guys that are going to be available via trade? So we're going through, talking through that process. Sitting down with the coaches yesterday as well and going through the roster. Again, we talked about it. We have tough decisions to make on all these guys, and there's so many factors. So we're talking to the coaches about how the guys are picking things up. We're talking to the player performance group, the athletic trainers, and it's a holistic approach in terms of how we're evaluating things, because like we said, it's not just about the player and what's happening on the field. It's about everything in the total picture. So we're meeting, and we have to be experts on our roster and then be experts on the other 31 as well. So every single day is truly targeted at that.
And I imagine your phone has to be on you, because if anything happens in another camp, you know, you never know, you might get a phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone's going to be blowing up just talking to other scouts and GMs, right?
Absolutely. And again, our pro staff does an awesome job of, because we're all, I'm communicating with the GMs and they're communicating with scouts and agents in other areas. So that's a big part of it.
I want to follow up on that as well, because there was a moment I was jealous, and you were doing an interview with Andy and Randy leading up to the draft. I don't know if you remember this or not. All right, in the middle of this interview, your phone rings, and it was a GM.
Yeah.
And you showed Andy. You wouldn't tell it on the radio. You're like, you know who that is?
Has he shared that?
No. And I texted him immediately.
No,
I was like, who was it? He was like, not telling, man. Not telling. Circle of trust. And look, hey, if your phone rings, just show it to me. That's all I'm saying, okay? If your phone rings at any point in this interview, just show it to me. But how often does that happen? Like, when would you say is the last time you spoke to another personnel person from another NFL team? Is it on a daily basis? Is it every few days? When's the last time you talked to, like, another NFL GM?
Yeah, not always on a daily basis. It was probably a couple days ago when I talked to another GM. But what will happen is, especially when we get into – after the first preseason game, that's when things really ramp up.
Right.
That's when the conversations really accelerate. And, again, our pro staff does such a good job of making sure we know exactly what's going on in those other buildings. We know the players that we're looking at in those other buildings. We know what we anticipate, so they can be productive conversations.
Yeah.
Well, and we are joined by Falcons General Manager Terry Fontenot right now on the morning shift. How much of your job is evaluating talent versus personality and locker room chemistry?
Yeah, it's all that. Like I said, we have a holistic approach. And when you have guys in this locker room, and I know, Mike, you'll appreciate this, and you have this locker room and you're looking at the Chris Lindstroms and Jake Matthews and Jesse Bates and Bijan, all these unbelievable people, I can keep going. What we have to do is we have to make sure we're adding to the culture. And it's not – we don't want to let those guys down and bring in somebody that doesn't fit that. Now it goes both ways. And they want to look next to a guy and say, okay, we can trust this guy. Mm-hmm. But also we got to be able to trust him to do his job and help us to be an effective football team. And so we have to make sure that we're bringing in the right guys. But then also, like I said, we have a holistic approach. And part of this is development. Sometimes it's helping people with life skills. Sometimes it's helping people on the field. But whatever it is, we have to help develop them and get them to where they need to be, but they have to have the right mindset.
So, mindset's everything. I can imagine you're probably like, hey, James Pierce, like, what was that fight all about out there? Hey, man, I told everybody you were going to fit the culture. Why are you fighting people? No, man, and look, I was the same way as him when I got out here trying to make a name for myself as well. I want to kind of piggyback on her question, because one of the things we've talked about has been the defensive line group. Obviously, not just the edge guys that you drafted back in the spring, but also the interior. You lose a guy like Grady Jarrett. Eddie Goldman, who was very unique to what this team was trying to do last year, right? I mean, he was more of kind of that sound tree stump style nose guard I always talk about. But you have people to replace them not quite in the same style.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? When you know, how often do you get in with a guy like Jeff Ulbrich and say, hey, okay, what are we looking for? You know what I mean? Obviously, we're looking for explosive guys, but are we looking for penetrating style? Are we looking for guys who can swim move? Or are we looking for guys who can hold the point? How do you kind of balance that? Because – let's just call it what it is. You've seen a lot of defensive coordinators over the last 4 years in Atlanta, and you are trying to bring in guys that fit a lot of different systems.
No, you're right. And that's the critical factor. That's really step one. when Jeff Obert gets in the building and Nate Olley and the other coaches get going, we have to sit down with them and go through what the prototype is for each position. What's the best fit? Bringing in a guy like Divine Diablo, if you look at Jeff Olbrich's with Foye Olukuni, look at his history with linebackers, there's a lot of college safeties that have length and athleticism. There's a specific prototype, and Divine Diablo fit that prototype to a T in terms of the type of linebackers we want here moving forward. Now, with the Caden Ellis's and the J.D. Bertrands and the Troys, those guys still fit, and they can fit what we are, but still moving forward, do you know what your ideal is? The same thing is we had a lot of players here already with Brandon Dorless and T.Q. Graham and Rook, and we have a lot of guys that are really athletic guys that can get off the ball and do a lot of the things that we want to do. So it's right. twofold. It's about looking at the players that you have right now, seeing how they fit, but what's that prototype moving forward? And it's been great having those conversations with Brick and Ollie and all the other coaches.
Awesome. Joined by Atlanta Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot here on the morning shift. All right, just in that light, when you draft Jalen Walker, anybody in the first round really, but then you make a move to go back and get James Pierce, there's expectations that come from outside the building. You know, what for a general manager, what expectations do you have a player when you take that kind of move and that kind of risk? Because we know back in the day when they did it here for – Thomas did it for Julio – but also, how do you manage those expectations with the player?
Yeah, well, and honestly, Bo, we don't see it like as a risk. It's a calculated, it's a decision, right? And when we look at it, and we use next year's first round pick this year to get a pressure player that we have a lot of faith in, and then we got back a third round pick that we got Xavier Watts in with. So we got these two big time pressure players out of college football, and then we got two ball hawks from college football. So when we look at the total picture of what we did and how we put it together, we feel really good about that. But we understand there's always an expectation that comes with everything, and that's why we keep talking about mindset. You have to have players with the same mindset too, because I can sit here and say that we ignore the noise and we don't listen to those things. We just focus on our process and what we're doing. But you have to have players that have that same mindset, and we know those guys that we brought in. They're wired the right way. They're focused on this building right here and doing everything they can do to be effective here. You're talking earlier about the fights, and there's some stuff going on a couple days ago. And, man, you have these really competitive groups that are doing whatever they can do to go out there and battle. And I know a couple coaches have said it. We got to go to that line and not cross that line. You'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push. You know, so we'd rather have that. And so we know we'll manage it the right way and make sure we're doing things the right way and protecting our team in those ways. But we love that we have guys that are that passionate and that competitive.
Well, to that light, I mean, I've gotten to spend, you know, good for what I do around the team. And I'm around Bajan and Drake and then even the little bit of time around Penix. It's like they're all the same in a lot of ways. They're all – I mean, the way they interact – they just – I don't know how – and you got them all at 8, which is crazy. Yeah. I don't know how that works. So I guess you guys – and Jalen Walker from – I don't know a ton about James Pierce. I'm still learning, like I think most of our families. But Jalen Walker to him is almost seems like he's cut from that exact same mold that Penix, Drake, Bajan are.
Yeah, there's a rare consistency to all those players you're talking about. There's a rare maturity to those players as well. You know exactly what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. And there are some players you bring in that you got to help in areas with life skills, with different things. But with those guys, there is very unique with how mature and consistent they are in everything they do.
Yeah. Finishing up here with Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager. Just one more thing before we let you go. It's interesting talking to you and how little drama it kind of feels like there is out here, because it is holdout season around the NFL. Yep. And we sit here and talk about Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons, and we don't have that situation right now. But how much do you kind of keep your ear to the ground or your eyes peeled? Because you do probably have some extensions coming up when you talk about the Drake Londons, even looking further, you know, Matthew Bergeron's, Bajan Robinson's. How do you kind of keep that, you know, that wind in your sails of like, okay, I know this is coming, and how do you decide to plan for that and kind of see what the NFL landscape is like on that front?
Yep. It's a regular ongoing basis. We study every contract that comes in, and we're always forecasting and looking at how our players specifically are going to fit into that. And so we're always looking, because, you know, when you make a decision to extend a player, you have to look at all the effects, how it affects everybody else on the roster, how it's going to affect you in the coming seasons. And we're very transparent with our players and with our agents. Like you said, we have some guys that are really, really good people that fit what we're about, fit our ethos, and they're really good players on the field. So you want to get things done, but we're very transparent with them in the right ways. And so you know that when we really build this thing the right way, it's going to be a norm. You're going to lose some players.
Yep.
That's just the fact of it, because that's going to be a good problem to have, that we have so many good players that you can't fit them all underneath. But we're honest with players that, hey, you come here, it's our job to give you everything we have and pour into you, and it's your job to go out there and give everything you have so you can be the best you can, and you're either going to make a lot of money here or somewhere else. But that is an ongoing thing, and it does say a lot about the unselfishness of our players, that they're just out there competing, getting ready to play Tampa on 9-7.
I love it. I know that there's been some hints about it from the media of like, yeah, hey, do you pay attention to this? And every single one I've heard is like, absolutely not, man. I'm just really cool reading the ball.
Terry, we're going to need Uncrustables back on the plane.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. No, Uncrustables is for the room. You got to have snack late at night, watching college football all night. You know that.
I know that's his forte, man. But David Bassett is giving me that look, man, so we got to let you go. But appreciate you so much for hanging out with us,
thank
man.
Thank y'all so
and
much.
And good luck with everything through the rest of training.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
That's Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager here on the Morning Show. So a lot of fun having that conversation.
Yeah, coming up, we are live from Falcons training camp. We're going to break down everything that's going on next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Fans are coming in. The line is moving. We are gearing up to kick off training camp soon. I know I sound like your mother. Stay hydrated, though. If you're coming out, you already know it's going to be extremely hot today. And we just had general manager of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, on. Besides getting Uncrustables for Bo, what were some of the takeaways you had from Terry?
Well, he had no problems with my top five list, so that's good. Not that I asked him about fictional movie characters that are athletes, but nonetheless, man, always fun to kind of visit with him. I'm going to start calling him like the mayor. I know that G down here is referred to as the commissioner. I'm going to start calling Terry Fontenot like the mayor, man. He's so smooth and visits with us before and afterwards and everything like that. But
it's not an arrogance, fun to it's catch a confidence.
Up. Yeah, that's exactly
tell
right.
Tell him, Terry.
That's exactly right. And I thought it was interesting, and he gave a number of good answers, but I think one of the things that we've seen so far, and we've talked about it a number of times on this show as well as the weekend shows, about the aggression up front in the defense and how they want to be able to create havoc in the backfield and really slice between the offensive line. I think it was interesting to kind of ask him about the departure of Eddie Goldman and Grady Jarrett and how things have kind of changed, and how when you've had four different defense coordinators in 4 years, how do you continue to match up the personnel with what those guys are trying to get accomplished? I didn't even get a chance to bring up Zach Harrison with him. To me, that's the ultimate poster child of, I drafted you for a Ryan Nielsen defense, and then you played in a Jimmy Lake defense, and now you're playing something completely different here in Jeff Ulbrich's defense.
And that's where we get a chance to talk to someone like Terry, I get – worried about the interview, because I think sometimes my questions are too in the weeds. You and I talked briefly about that question. I thought it was a really good question, but those are the little weed things that I go into with, I'm sitting there and I'll see Terry walk on the field when we're at practice, and I'm like, I wonder like what his day's been like so far. And I just don't think people think about the fact that training camp might be busier than the players and coaches and training camp,
but
it's just completely different, and we don't ever think about the fact that how different it is. I also am. It's gonna be a tough pill for me to swallow if this team isn't successful this year. It always is, but this one's gonna sting because I'm afraid of ramifications, because I've watched them do what they think is right and be very. Be very good about taking the blows, right? Like, they've took some shots where things didn't work out, and there's never been hostility. There's never been that moment with the media where there's been a lash out or nothing, right?
Yeah.
And that that there's frustration when things don't work out. And so you're doing everything. Everybody can run their mouth all they want about the Kirk Cousins thing, and I've heard it from till now to the cows come home about, well, if they wanted Michael Penix, they should. And I said it too when it was first happened. But if they wanted him, they could have waited. Well, probably not how the draft would have played out. If Atlanta is sitting at 8 without Kirk Cousins, someone's going to jump ahead of them. Because I knew From NFL insiders that I've heard from I dropped that line, a little NFL insider line. And a couple people I talked to literally said that there were two teams behind us that took quarterbacks that wanted Penix. And you can figure out who they were. So I don't think he would have been there. So I think it was a perfect storm. But, now that that's kind of dying down, I think they've handled this Cousins situation as well as you can. And you just hope, like, God, can we get our year? I mean, I just make the playoffs. Like, playoffs. Can we win the division?
Talk about playoffs.
I heard Gerald McCoy was on Twitter yesterday, and he tweeted that he had sat down with Baker Mayfield and this and that, and he wanted the NFL to flex that early game of the Eagles in Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is a Super Bowl contender this year, and that's great. But I don't know why the Tampa Bay team that we beat twice last year is any better than we are right now. I mean, I know why you can tell me on paper what they've done the last few years, but I think for some reason we match up well with them. So why can't we beat them and win this division?
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing, Allie, kind of the takeaway I always take away from Terry Fontenot, and I've been in the trenches in this locker room, and I understand some of the goings on. One of the things you have to remember is you kind of have to strike while the iron's hot when you're a general manager in the NFL. And Terry Fontenot's dealing with it. A lot of people, who would you say the best general manager is in the NFL right now? It's got to be Howie Roseman, right? Yeah. Howie Roseman is crowned constantly as the best GM
in
the NFL.
Because when Howie stepped back into that GM job, he had a base to go off of.
Right.
But what he's done a good job is drafting one way and not steering away from it.
Yeah.
Also, they draft defense well and are willing to sign offensive players.
Right.
This is their philosophy, and it's worked.
And my point being is that Howie Roseman, on and off, has been the GM. I mean, he was the GM when I got in the NFL in 2010.
But remember, they took it away from him.
I know, and they took it away. My point being is that, like, you've got to strike while the iron's hot when you're a GM. You have to kind of hit the ground running. If you don't, you become stale and you get moved out. We talk all the time about Thomas Dimitrov, who is the GM that drafted me here, drafted Julio here, drafted Matt Ryan here, led the greatest stretch in Falcons history. And you know what? They weren't able to capitalize on it, and he was fired eventually.
But
it's a crazy job.
Imagine if Thomas gets bumped up to, like, team VP, and then it fails, and you need some – what you did to do that failed, and you need someone to kind of stabilize the franchise, and you brought him back. That's what they did with Howie, and Howie, I think, learned from some of his mistakes. Because remember, people forget, Chip Kelly was doing the team personnel when he was the head coach there for the 2 years or year and a half or whatever.
You're talking about the super team?
Yeah, and it went off the rail. Well, no, that was Howie, but then Chip came in. Yeah, was that the super team in 12?
I think it was the super team.
No, I don't think Chip was there. I think Andy was still there when they had Vic in the super team with Nnamdi Asenwa.
And the backup was Vince Young.
But then Chip came in like 14 and 15, and then it went back to Howie, and he kind of stabilized things, and then they started getting – but Howie Roseman missed on Carson Wentz if you want to be down on it.
Well, and you know what he also did is he was able to turn, I think, the Carson Wentz trade into, like, four of the best players they have right now, which was Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Cooper DeJean, who is somehow, like, higher than Bijan Robinson on the NFL top 100,
which is ridiculous.
Which is absolutely absurd.
So things have kind of been a perfect storm for Howie, but I think that Thomas gets two things Thomas didn't do here. Ever draft trenches well, other than a couple players. I think you were one of them, honestly. I'm not dissing it because you're sitting here, but if your career goes a little different, I think you're a Jake Matthews on the other side. I think you could have played that long in the league. You had that makeup. We saw it at Alabama. So, but injuries come in, and that in the end of the day, that's on Thomas's resume. But what one of the things Thomas got caught up in doing was trying to save his job. And he and Dan Quinn chased their tail for the last 2.5 seasons of in the offseason as well of trying to save their jobs. And all it did was just completely destroy you in the cap and in the draft. And you were a casualty of that.
One superficial observation I have about Terry is he has so much information that he just keeps within. How do you hold that in when you're hearing us ramble on about what we think's going on?
I know, right?
Speculating. He sees like Pat McAfee talking about things like, how do you not just let the cat out of the bag and be like, dude, this is what's really happening?
That's why I poked at him when they were doing the pre-draft show with Andy Randy. He's like, you know, have you fielded any calls? And he shows Andy his phone like, oh, yeah, do you know who this guy is? Yeah, that's the GM, you know. And I'm sitting there going, I'm texting Andy going, who was it? And he's like, won't tell you. And I'm like, how do you, like, can I get it now? Like, here we are 4 months later, and I'm still like, dude, who was on the phone? You
right.
know what I mean? I
right.
still want to know the answer to that. I don't know how he keeps the lid on.
I would tell you that as a fantasy football GM, Allie, sometimes having too much information destroys
goodness.
Your – it actually makes you a worse manager.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
You got.
I mean, Mike, am I wrong?
No, you're on the right track.
I do feel, though, that when you brought up the Andy and Randy phone call, that Terry was on board to show you the next phone call he gets. You just got to stick near
yeah.
him
no, man.
During
Let
training
me know,
camp
dude.
Today.
Also, dude, he wanted us to throw Andy under the bus. I was like, I ain't doing it. It's my teammate. Yeah. I ain't doing it. It's my teammate.
Well, he also hasn't told us who it was.
Yeah, I was
so
like, come on, man.
He's free
me,
and clear.
That's true, but, you know, I could have been like, yeah, but I'm not going to tell you that. I don't
yeah, yeah, we could have just hey, made it a
Maybe.
Full circle.
I could.
Yeah, but if we promised him, we wouldn't tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we could have toyed with that. We're like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely yeah. not.
Well, today is the first padded practice out here for the Falcons. So what will you be watching for on the field? We're going to talk about that next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the studio, just a voice in our ears today. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. So we have Life of Squid coming up in a few minutes. Bo is saying it's of a different caliber today, so we'll see what that means.
Interesting.
But fans are through the gate. They are all set up on the hill. Practice starts at 9:30. And before I ask you guys about practice, Mike, there's been some time and space since you did Top 5 Tuesday of your favorite fictional athletes. Are you hearing reviews of
yes.
your list? Any amendments
yeah.
you think are worthy
there's
of mentioning?
There's a couple that I probably would take a harder look at. One of you brought up Henry Rowan Gardner. That was definitely one of my favorite movies growing up.
Nature's got a big boy.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite movie of all time, and Grant actually put this out, my favorite movie of all time is Forrest Gump.
Well.
And I kind of tend to forget the fact that Forrest Gump was an athlete.
Yep.
Two times over, you know, ping pong champion
yep.
and All-American at Alabama. So I tend to forget Forrest Gump as well. Also had a couple people hit me up on the gram and say Rod Tidwell was one of them, which is interesting. I think that he's definitely likable, although he's not at the center of that movie.
Jerry Maguire.
He's a very important character. I love the fact that Grant McCauley tweeted at us and he put Mr. Baseball on there. Because the only person that's alive that I think I can even reference Mr. Baseball with is Grant. In fact, he's the only person I know that I've ever referenced Mr. Baseball around. If you don't know familiar with the movie, Tom Selleck was a baseball player. He get in major leagues, kind of gets like he's kind of gets bad. He's kind of demoted, and he goes to Japan to play. But the only person I've ever referenced with that understood what I was talking about was Grant.
I would get it if you did the noodle scene though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised. Look. Mr. 3000.
Oh, jeez.
No, but I also I wish I had found a spot for Bobby Boucher. He is definitely – that's probably a miss on my part. So I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong.
Wouldn't be the first time you've missed on a list.
And look, man, it is what it is. I'm sorry I didn't bring up the top pass rushing duo of all time and have 18 stats to back each one of them up.
Dang, he's still getting on you for that, Bo.
You know why,
really,
Dylan? Because it was a perfect
Dylan,
list.
Dylan,
it was flawless.
This man messes with your list all the time. Do not come for his rescue here.
But there's like blind loyalty there.
No, it's crazy.
There's a brother relationship between Dylan and myself.
That's right.
What it is?
Yeah.
That's strange. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, I
still
feel good.
That's your jealousy talking, Dylan.
I still feel good about it.
Well,
you're my bro too, Mike.
Okay.
And Allie, you're my sis.
Okay. I don't know.
Sorry, now you're trying too hard.
I'm about to say, I made it weird. I'll go away.
Well, today is the first padded practice at Falcons training camp. Falcons training camp. That you can tell we're in the last segment of the show.
That's right.
What are you going to be watching for today on the field?
I can't wait to see one-on-one pass rush
yeah.
With the rooks.
So with you.
I want to see Jalen Walker, and I want to see James Pierce go in one-on-one pass rush. And I don't know how much of that Caleb McGarry will get. He's had, he's been in and out of things, and there's been a game plan for him, but I want to see that. I also, same thing with some of the rookies in one-on-one routes. You know, I want to see Billy Bowman match up with Ray McCloud. I want to see, you know, Xavier Watts have to match up with Kyle Pitts. It's just you want to see these matchups that are one-on-ones that you don't normally get, and so we'll see how that goes. I'm less interested in the 11-on-11. I will say this, too, and I don't know that they'll do this today, but usually this gets introduced on a day like today, third and short, some of the short yardage stuff. Now, I don't know that they've installed those packages yet, but a lot of times they'll wait till the pad comes on to do goal line, third and short, things like that. So that'll be the next thing I'm looking for.
Yeah, that two-minute drill.
Two-minute drill gets introduced
and
as
then,
well, yeah.
Because you're going to have both kickers and pads kicking in like a real life.
That's a good call.
That battle's heating up. I saw some stuff out over the weekend. Lenny Craig didn't miss, and I think Kuhn missed one. It was like 47, but they both look like they're gearing up. I'm so with Mike, Allie. Before I was watching, I ever watched practice with Mike, you know, I would just gravitate over to the one-on-one stuff with the trenches. It's just always been fun to watch. And it's just one of those deals where it's one of the things I've always – but I like also like seeing how guys run routes and cover when the pads come on because they get a little more handsy, get a little more physical at the top of routes. You get them, you know, on both sides of the ball do. Even, you know, coming up on the line of scrimmage with that stuff too. So it's definitely the two-minute drill. So those little things, they always just kind of intrigue me. But I hate to say it, but it is absolutely – all eyes are going to be on the pass rush stuff, I think, when they do those one-on-ones because of the young guys. I'm also – don't forget Braylon Trice. He's
right.
Like a forgotten country out here.
Yeah.
What he could be. And, you know, just seeing some of the stuff from the inside, because you're going to see inside stuff too. So how does Brandon Dorlus look up there, right? When he goes against, you know, a guard center combo, right? Or what's Rook looking like?
I want to get a different vantage point today. I might walk around to the hill a little bit and get kind of that end zone vantage point, so you can see kind of how the defensive line is moving, how they're attacking the double teams. Like Bo said, we've been, you know, the media area has been kind of off to the sideline, kind of where you would see like any normal like team kind of stand. I might go around to the hill today, see if I can get a vantage point and see if you can see just how much there is movement along the defensive front. And I'm assuming the blitz packages with the pads will be even heavier than it was on Saturday. So we'll see.
I don't want to take the show off the rails.
Uh-oh. No, here we go.
But I'm going to.
Just watched a mom and the son, and she just bought him a brand new Falcons hat at the little store.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How quick are you when you buy a new hat if you're somewhere to put that hat on? Because that – the son, like, could not wait to put his hat on. Like, he's like, his mom's, like, peeling the stickers off. He's like, I got to put this hat on right now. He's, like, getting the fit of it. And I was like, man, makes me excited. I want a new hat. I wonder if I can find that hat that Terry was wearing. He had that camo Falcons hat. I think the hat looked good, man.
All right, you went far enough. I want a new Falcons hat.
All right? Yeah.
So you took us off the rails and then you just kept going. You asked a question and then answered it for yourself and just kept going. Ask me when's the last time I bought a hat in public.
Well, you can't.
It's been literally probably 30 years ago.
Gordon can buy a hat in public.
I'm not doing that. So, yeah, I can't answer it. My head's too big to buy it in public. But there are a lot of people buying those hats over there, man. So, that is
at what age did you not stop?
What age did when I you, age out of hats?
Yeah, like at public hats, like, you know, hats for everybody
public
else.
Public hats.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably 17.
Wow.
I want to say. Yeah, at that point, my head probably got out of the 7 5/8, 7 3/4 range and just started going to 7 7/8 and 8.
Hope you tried it on before you bought it.
Yeah. What?
Like the hat. Like that moment when you're like, won't fit.
No,
won't fit.
Yeah.
I mean, these go to a place called Lids at the mall.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
It's still there?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's still there?
I don't ever go to the mall.
I was in the mall the other day. It's still there.
Do they still have like champs at the mall?
I think so.
Or like Finish Line.
There's a new memorabilia store at Town Center Mall that we happened to walk by the other day, and I saw my mortgage payment going out the window because my husband loves to buy memorabilia. But there was new like vintage stuff, and the guy inside was like, if you buy two, it's on sale. I'm like, don't tell him that.
Yes.
Please don't tell
him.
Dude.
Yeah. Good business, man.
Champs was my jam back in the day.
Yeah,
like,
same.
We always had to go into Champs. Like, my mom knew, like, my sister, she wanted to go to the bookstore, no matter what, in the mall, and I was like, I want to go to Champs.
Bro, when Champs started selling the tall size, the T-shirt, you knew what time it was.
I mean, I never needed that, I don't know if I had to say that out loud.
In hindsight, theirs was a little too tall. You know what I mean? Like, started getting past your butt. It started looking like a little dress, but nonetheless, man, that's where I was.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to say that. I didn't wear a top. Dylan, let's go. Yeah, the Baron Burns W sauce, a little Allen Lager. I'm going to refresh today when I get home with an Allen Lager from
that
New Realm Brewing.
Really good, right?
I mean,
now.
Dude, I could go for one right now.
I could too.
Right this moment. If I had a cold beer, it would be great. Anyways. Yeah, Gordon's got a cooler. I'm just going to put a six-pack in there Thursday and leave it in there. We'll just have one after the show.
There we go.
I don't think the Falcons will mind us drinking a beer and then walking in there and the practice facility. All right. So, recently, the Mike's Mafia news channel had a special report. And I have put my people out there, and my lead – correspondent on the street, Brenton Steiner, has a special investigative report from the Squidbilly News Network. Dylan, let's hear from Mr. Brent's his report from Woodstock, Georgia.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bo.
Hey,
Allie,
Bo.
Dylan. Hey,
hi,
guys.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, the morning show. This is Pearl.
This is Pearl, Squid Nation for life. Here it is, Bo Morgan. Make sure you hear this one, okay? Bye, ya.
That's all.
You heard it.
You bullied that poor lady.
Oh, my goodness. Please.
You bullied
Pearl,
that poor lady. Please
give
part
context.
Of the nation.
Miss Pearl, who saw a Squid Nation shirt on our lead correspondent, Brent, at the Publix that she works at, you know, she called out. She said, oh, what's the other one? Mike's Mafia. Yeah, they suck. That's what she said. That's what I heard anyways.
So it's unbelievable that you bullied that poor woman
into
joining
Ms.
the
Pearl.
Nation.
No one can just bully Miss Pearl.
That's the only way.
Know,
that's the only way anybody would do that.
I know. I'm friends with both of her sons. They go to my gym, and so she contacted me and said, "I need to get the Squid Nation shirt I saw on your lead correspondent, Brent." And I said, "No problem." So we hooked her up with the Squid Nation shirt, and she has now purchased it. She's wearing it proudly. She's wearing it in the video. And she said, you heard it. I mean, I don't know if late, great Hollywood Hogan could have said better. For life.
No, that's
Squid
just,
Nation.
That's nice.
For not life. She said it right there.
Well, look.
So,
Allie, you tell
Squid
me.
Squid Nation
the
for life.
Yeah, that's right.
You be the judge here. Now, if
it's
you remember,
drop,
this
Dylan.
Was he was on the way to Atlanta Motor Speedway wearing his Squid Nation shirt. I'm sorry, Echo Park Speedway wearing his Squid Nation shirt. And she said, oh, I'm more of a Mafia member.
Yes.
Okay, now he has clearly bullied this poor lady into being
anybody.
A part of Squid Nation.
Who
it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Squid Nation
you went back.
For life.
You went back to have a conversation with her about this. This is absolutely diabolical.
No,
though.
I never went. I never Publix have a conversation with her. I just
but
told
you got
her,
a message sent to her.
She messaged me when she found out that we played it, and I said, yeah, my heart was broken.
Oh, see,
and,
you bullied this lady, man.
She said, I never left the nation. I said, well, you know, we got audio that sounds different.
Wow.
And she said, I want to – she basically – when you buy the Squid Nation T-shirt, it is like getting the brand of Yellowstone on your chest back in the TV show.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, when Rip has the Yellowstone brand, the Y branded into his chest.
Not the same.
That's what happens when you buy a Squid Nation shirt. You don't go back. Once you're in the nation, it's for life.
Here's what I would like you to do, because when your nickname was announced today to Terry Fontenot, when
That's
he joined
right.
us on the show, he wanted to know about it. You had to explain it. I'm sure there was a little bit of humiliation in having to explain that nickname to him. I would love for you to buy him a shirt and see if you can get him to wear it.
That's what size do you think Terry wears?
That's just, please don't.
What size do you think Terry wears? I got some shirts already,
already
made.
Already gone far enough. Who was it, Derek Schiller, that was saying he was part of Squid Nation?
Derek Schiller is a big honcho of the Atlanta Braves, is a proud card-carrying member of Squid Nation.
That was very earlier on in the history of the show.
Yeah.
I think that he's probably listening enough to know that he should probably flip that.
I disagree. He knows what's up.
We really tapped into, I think, what the interests of Squid Nation were in this.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, all the higher-ups in this city are members of Squid Nation. That should tell y'all something. That should tell every one of y'all something right now.
How many shirts are out there?
There's more than you think.
There's like five.
No, there's there's way more. Than I can pull up my sales of the empire, but they're a lot. I mean, we have news networks. I'm gonna have to get Brent a Squid Nation news network.
And before we go, somebody keeps tweeting me saying that we didn't have. It's a shame I didn't have Flash Gordon on my list. Can we stop with
he
that?
He was quarterback New York Jets.
I know he was. What are we doing?
I don't know.
And Brad Bird says no one from Remember the Titans.
They were real. That would be in the non-fictional section, sir.
We're going too far. We're going too far, man. Just accept it.
I'm sorry.
A beautiful list.
As someone that appeared as an extra in that movie, I will tell you that the Remember the Titans appears in the non-fiction movie section. That's where you have to go to Blockbuster to get
There you go. It's like Miracle on Ice. You can't pick one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, we got to get out to practice. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. That's going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, Gordon, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Squid Nation.
Squid Nation for life.